¿Qué pasa, amigo?
Hola.
Do we all have much to say about that? God is not stupid, and he developed the system, if you will, and the word was settled in heaven. It's never going to change. It's his mind. We just have to submit to it. And you know, something that I know that I've struggled with from an emotional, spiritual standpoint is and it comes off kind of wrong sometimes, I can't change anybody. I can be a stumbling block, but I cannot cause them to submit themselves to the truth of God. But I am accountable to present that to them. And I'm accountable to how I present that truth as the truth. But we got to be a little hard-headed. Like, and we have to just be stubborn that way. This only what's in the King James, that's all we're going to teach and preach. John tells us in the Gospels that there's a lot of stuff that Jesus even did that's not recorded. And if there was a record of everything that God did, the earth couldn't contain the books. But what he gave us was enough for us to believe him and have faith in him. So we just stick to it. And we do have to understand some things about what perfect is and what unity is. God gave us everything he wants us to know right here. And if, you know, Brother Cooper spent a year, 2 years talking about rightly dividing and how the Bible is harmonious no matter where you're teaching it. Sister Rachel brought that out. If the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch were of God, it would say the same thing of what we have here anyways. So we don't need it because we already have it. So then that brings to the other point. Well, they contradict. That's why people struggle to have that be their faith rather than God. That's why out of the 5,000 plus manuscripts that were used to translate that old archaic languages into this English, that a few of those ones were scrapped, and folks decided to use those scrap manuscripts to build so-called Bibles. Because that's how arrogant and proud men are.
I hope we're going to be.
My favorite is what Brother Jake brought up there, man. There's just stuff that this evening just don't get into it. Just give him the truth. Move on. So
all right. In Acts chapter 3, Brother Sean Templeton, if you could please voice a prayer. Do not plan on rereading everything, but
if you want to pray for 7 miles,
thank you. You turned to Deuteronomy 18.
Thank you, Father.
We had this miraculous healing. It was a great day. This lame man was there, and of course, you know, Peter and John came, and of course, we had this miracle, and this man's life, of course, changed. It was amazing, and then as the result of the miracle, that led to the crowd and the opportunity to preach, and that's really what the chapter is about. Is a chance to preach and have this message and to reach a lot of people. And there were a lot of people there at the temple, and it was a good place to find folks. And it was Peter's second recorded message in the scriptures since Pentecost. It was personal. It was direct. Salvation was preached, the gospel, of course, and the need to repent. The need to repent. And in Acts chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 22 and 23, so we're going to pick up on, again, the miracle has happened. It was real. It was amazing. As we talked about last time, if you look at it spiritually speaking, each and every one of us is in that position before we met Christ. Okay? And if you want to get right down to it, salvation of the soul, the salvation of the soul, and eternal life in heaven is more amazing than being able to walk. Never was able to walk on this earth. And so now there's crowds here, there's this message. Remember where they're at. They're on the Temple Mount, right? I'm not saying that the only person present was Jews, but this is where the Jews had come, of course, to attempt to worship God. And We're in verse number 22 and 23 here. This message and of course the need to repent. Right. Told them in verse 19 they need to repent. And then in verse 22 and 23, Peter goes, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed." 3-7,
and then we'll go to
among the people. So now we have this message. We have this message being preached. Of course, salvation.
This is the will of God. Even your Jesus sanctification that you should abstain from fornication.
And of course, the need to repent.
For every one of you that
and
should know how to possess his vessel.
These folks,
in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God.
18, is it?
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such.
Deuteronomy chapter 18. Yes,
we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So that verse number
17, 18.
Three there. The Lord's will for us, his New Testament church members, to abstain from fornication.
And we look at what
fornication is. It is that act
of
that intimacy act between man and woman, but outside the bounds of that marriage. And
Peter, he's preaching to this crowd.
The reason for that and the reason for the teaching.
He starts giving Old Testament scripture. He starts quoting and looking at what Moses himself, of course, God through Moses, had said to their fathers.
The Lord and
how important
was this? In marriage, we know what is spoken of and will
go to God's word. It's very important.
1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter.
You know, someone can talk all they want to, but if you're sitting there talking and these Jewish people are going to accept these Old Testament scriptures as true, right? Now, here's some facts of the matter. Here's what God said. Here's some credibility, so to speak. And so now, he goes on there and he says, you know,
1 Corinthians 6 chapter.
The Lord God said he would raise up a prophet.
Our bodies,
talk about
what
the
we have in verse
hearing,
number, and we'll start in verse number
obeying,
19
and
20.
In the book
our
of Acts,
bodies
at the very, very end, those that do not hear what?
He purchased us
shall
and saved us
from the
church
among
members
the
for his
okay.
work and service. And that's what's spoken
the
of in verse number 19 and 20. What?
Man Moses,
know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify the Lord,
of course,
God, in your body and your spirit,
and he says in verse number 25,
God's. And so
actually,
it's for
verse
his.
And 24.
So
our prophet, verse 24,
our temple,
and all the prophets
verse
from Samuel
is for the
and
Lord.
Those that follow after, as
and
many
for,
as have spoken, have
not
likewise
to be given,
or told
to,
of these days. So now you have these people that are on the tip of mouth. They hear that see this great miracle. Of course, there's some preaching going on.
Bond of that
Jesus Christ is being brought up again, etc. And now,
verse number 9.
Jesus Christ, and he's given
verse number 9 in the
10th
chapter, verse 15, 6, tells us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor
matter of fact, goes on verse number 25, he says, you hear the children
or abusers of themselves with mankind.
You should
nor
know this.
Thieves, nor covetous,
right?
Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom
God
of God.
The
and such as
this commandment
you,
even
but
to their
waters.
This should not have been a surprise.
But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name
on.
Of the Lord Jesus
should
and by
the teachings
Spirit
of, the
of our God.
Of course, they
all
didn't
things
do
are
it.
Lawful for me, but all things are
not
expedient. All things are lawful for me. But
I'm
I will
sure
not be brought under the power of any, and being brought under the power he was, that is, in fornication,
what
he's teaching
them,
allowing his vessel, his body, to be brought under the power, being given to another, because his was for the Lord, and his body and his life was for the Lord. And then the condemnation of fornication, obviously, the important one is 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
God, having raised up his son Jesus,
what is spoken of in the first couple of verses there, the reproach that was brought on the New Testament church and the discipline that the New Testament church had to do
think about that
because of what was
God sent his son Jesus to who?
Fornication and the practice there. Being spoke of.
And what's the big deal about that?
Commonly reported
they got to hear, that there's fornication
among
it,
you, and that such fornication should not be known among the Gentiles that one should have his father's
away
wife.
From their sins and from their iniquities. I'm sure there's a few other folks wouldn't have minded if I God would have
been to them first. Or modesty case, right? Use of terms. Thank you. It's a difficult
now
one.
Now they're confronted.
Sure.
Now what do they do? All right.
This their is one savior. Of those topics savior? That, you know, so I guess
their pride,
I remember
to whatever else they're trying to hang on to.
Being taught a lot.
But right now,
preached about
this miracle,
a lot.
You've had this preaching.
When I was,
and now you've had these Old Testament scriptures.
In high school. And
got a couple
well,
of them
I say high
sure,
school. And I started attending time. This church
okay.
as a visitor at the beginning of my senior year. So
it's a pattern of a message
to
that I think we actually
hot topic
see more
at
than
that
once.
Time.
Through the scriptures, but, here,
but let's go back to that 1 Corinthians
that's what we see
chapter
going on
6.
Here. Okay,
if you're
matter of
probably
fact,
still there.
I think we're going to probably talk a little bit about that. Let's go on to chapter number 4. We're just ready to go.
There's
right?
dual purpose to
four.
These teachings.
Brother,
physical fornication,
Brother
is
Jacob,
that the only thing that the Bible
you
teaches here about?
Four, please.
All right. Okay, so we got the spiritual stuff, too. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 here, verse 18.
Being grieved that they taught the people.
Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth. Is without the body, for he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It seems to be... very personal and very specific to you individually.
Right, thank you.
And harm
so
to you. If you violate
so,
this
in
law.
In case you're
God,
not aware of this, let's just,
and
let's
have
just make
these,
sure we have a little bit
Brother
of background
Josh
here.
Put it, these all intimate right? scenarios between
Israel
a man and a woman that God only designed
agreed?
For a husband
so
and
they
wife.
Were, in essence, prisoners or less
when,
in their own, in their
I,
own
I
country.
I would hope that you as
okay?
a New Testament church member
the Romans,
and as a Landmark Missionary Baptist, when you think of a husband and wife, what should you think
some,
of?
There was some leeway given to
Christ
them
and his church.
To make
Isn't
sure
that the picture
the
that
more
we
they
have?
Can govern their own
so
people,
we start out with
and
that,
watch
Genesis
over their
chapter,
own people,
three.
The rest that the Romans would have to step in. Does everybody understand that, right? And so they
Genesis
they
chapter
were
three.
Allowed, they, as in the Jewish people, were allowed then to deal
Sister
with some
Amanda.
Matters themselves if they could. To keep the noise down,
okay.
so to speak, right? So
could you read
picture here?
Chapter
you can
two,
see
I'm sorry.
The model C and
23 and 24.
So we have this Temple Mount right here, and the Temple Mount, of course, is where the activity had taken place with the healing of the man, and of course, this crowd had gathered, and there was
a
message and a lot of discussions.
All right, thank you very much. Where should we go next?
And of course, and Brother Jacob then reads the first four verses here in chapter 4, and it talks about
chapter 5.
The captain of the temple,
Sister
the Sadducees, and the priests, they came down and they arrested them. This was not a normal day on the temple.
Well, before 30,
okay, this was what we might say, so a little bit
first,
extra commotion after
what are we reading here.
Everything has taken place.
Letter to the church
in Ephesus.
Okay,
here,
letter to the church at Ephesus.
Area,
and the church is.
Let's refer to the Antonio Fortress.
Yes. Among
right.
a lot of other things. Let's say church
made
out
is just take a look at it here. That's where the Romans,
yeah.
the Roman
Center.
Soldier, that's where they were. It was a fort within the city.
Oh, Lord.
They had a fort within the city to protect themselves from the inhabitants of the city. When they went to bed at night. All right. And so, if you notice here,
the Lord's body covenant
together
with Christ.
Right next to...
Spirit of God in their midst.
That's true. Good idea. Right next to the Temple Mount. All right. This is the Temple Mount. All right.
All right.
Is it the Antonio Fortress?
Verses
33-32. For we members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Stars,
his
yes.
Man leave his father and mother until
you can see the activity going on in the temple. Okay.
This is a good history.
Yeah, we get it. We will get there this
all
year.
All right. Amen.
But,
so.
They saw what happened when Paul was about to get pulled into later on, right? They could see what was going on.
Man,
okay,
right here to a church.
So,
now we are bone
Jews,
of whose bones and flesh of
whose
flesh.
They would like to squash any commotion, the uproar, anything going on. They'd like to take
chapter 12,
care of it as quick as possible and to keep the Roman soldiers from coming on the Temple Mount.
As it pleased him.
And they took care of things
just
a little bit different.
Jesus Christ is our head.
All right.
We have a covenant.
Well, I say different
things.
It's a
New Testament. Yeah. It's in his blood.
Okay, so looking at these verses, Brother Jacob read here.
And bought.
About 150 to 175 years earlier,
who will one day become
religion,
his wife.
Judaism, if you wanted, it was divided into three groups.
Who do we belong to as New Testament church members?
Something like this. The Essenes, the Pharisees,
okay,
and the Sadducees.
We belong to Jesus Christ,
heard of
and
these,
that's
right?
That 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And, everything about us belongs
well,
to Jesus Christ.
Looking at the verses
we
of Brother Jacob read. Well,
and that has so many levels in it. What did God leave us with as a New Testament church member?
Well, you had these Sadducees in verse number one there. What part of the message did they struggle with?
That is our own
resurrection. And if you're not aware of that,
no, because it said we are not our own. Right? These are the simple questions with the simple answers.
They start preaching.
So these are some of the things that I think we miss. We don't.
They didn't.
We don't really want to put that into our life. No, I'm not a free American now to do whatever I want. I mean, God says do whatever you want.
They're
going to pay for it, right?
Laid hold of hands on them.
But what does God want you to do?
They put them in a hold. Okay? Now, if you're crystal clear here with this group,
submit everything to
him.
You are now a vessel for him. 100%.
I'm going to look at a couple of pictures here where no doubt Jesus spent his last time here on this earth. I do not know for sure, 100% sure, that Peter and John, this guy that was healed, was taken to this prison. I don't
get into all that.
But as I continue to read and read and read,
frustrated,
I come to find out there's more caves, dungeons,
we hear
cisterns.
It in Lordsburg. I'm not talking about the world, right? This is school of the Bible. We got churches here. It's a church sponsoring this. We're talking
iron
about
bars with locks.
A New Testament church, which is
now,
the legal
iron was
term
being
for what
used,
we are.
Don't get
our attitude
wrong.
And our behavior.
It was
land,
in the process of being
missionary
used
Baptist,
more shackles, etc.
Stick to the scripture.
But
everything
the
about
is,
our
course,
existence
throw someone in a cave, in a dungeon, or whatever, and then you can go get some
my
sleep
money,
that night.
My time,
okay, understand that?
The food in my refrigerator,
and, so not, and we can even see
the
bit,
dogs
that
I say that I own. God
another,
created them, and he gives me scripture on how I'm supposed to treat animals.
Talks
like
about the doors being open. So I'm not 100%
is directed
sure
by God.
But the bottom.
So then we are Americans on the flesh side. I'm being very, very careful because there's young people here on the flesh side. I don't want to get too much into this fornication. But listen, parents, you got
to
teach James chapter 1.
So like I'm right in front of everybody.
Your children have lust in them. And at some point in time, that lust is going to boil. And if they find themselves in the wrong situation, they're going to be enticed and they will succumb to the sin, and it will cause them a lifelong pain.
Well, Harry,
I'm not. This is not a tactic or a ploy to try to scare somebody or to over embellish things that are. You commit fornication, you will pay for that for the rest of your life, guaranteed 100%. So teach your children not to do that.
If they were taken,
we've said it before. You as an individual have no idea
but
how much tolerance you have for that temptation. So don't even try to get too close to it. You don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That's
there's been many
right there in the model
that have been able to overcome the temptation,
a lot of room, a lot of
and
area,
not commit fornication. But there has been many that have not been able to.
Place,
okay,
place
and you
for
pay
the
a price for
the meat.
Yes.
Not thyself, because of the evil doer, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green earth.
Amen. Which brings me to this, I mean, public school systems, I know that people love them, they hate them, I hate them, some people love them. Yeah,
you good?
The influences that your children face in school is unbelievable. Worse today it's ever been. Unbelievable. You think
so
your kid can handle it?
From
I teach him well. You think so?
In the,
you don't know.
If you're not aware of this. All right.
So stay away from that stuff. Because the messages in there,
this is the picture
horrible
from being down in this.
It's horribly
this
perverted.
Dungeon, this
so anyways, just some stuff.
Try.
Matthew 19:9. Let's go to that one. You know, just real quick. Try to get
from
over
the bottom up to the top.
Some of the physical stuff. I get uncomfortable with it.
Can we say to talk of this, right?
My children, though, on close the other hand, they were my children, right, so I was responsible.
And here's my point. I'm not saying that
any sort of affection I showed my
here
wife and my
been
daughter would vomit. So
they were kept
some make sure I did
all
that
right
often.
We'll get to that here in a second.
But as far as that, that's about as far as it goes. I get a little
no
uncomfortable
our Lord
talking about
time
this stuff because I have opinions,
okay?
Brother Daniel. Where'd he go?
But I
I have opinions. You're saying
you're looking at a hole smacking your gun.
I hate dating, by the way. I hate this idea of dating. I think it's the stupidest thing that we do, but that's my opinion.
Now, we got to walk down.
I can teach survival on, you know, your high school kids. They think it's pretty cool to date and stuff. It's stupid.
I want to be dropped from that.
God didn't design us to date. God designed us to be a man that takes care of his home with a wife that is there to be his helpmeet, and they are to be there for the rest of their lives in that order. With God and Christ as their head of the home.
Anyway.
That's how that's supposed to work. And no, you don't have unequally yoking. And so as Landmark Missionary Baptist, well, members of the New Testament Church, we teach our children that you are attracted to faith, not to physicality. Quit being attracted to physicality. Everybody's cute and gorgeous and pretty and beautiful. So don't be attracted to that. Be attracted to faith.
We had a chance to walk down the stairs.
You're going to bring children into the world.
There was no size.
Have souls that one day will die.
You just have
to know how to raise, how to go to God for salvation and repentance.
Okay,
it's not a game. We don't date.
If you're not aware of this, the prisons were a little bit different than today in America. That was a joke. It's a lot different. All right. And they didn't care.
How
they
does that work?
And then they dealt with them the next day.
Listen, right? You got to have faith.
Yeah, this is down in the bottom of this
but
hole.
I am.
Whoever asked that question. And you can see.
Look for faith.
So if there's no door, how would they get them out? Would they leave down there to rot?
Matthew 19, verse number 9. Let's see. Sister Julianne, could you read that one?
Matthew 19, verse 9.
Ropes.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it to be fortification, shall marry another, and commit adultery. And whosoever
they needed
her,
to, someone would go
down
a rope,
all right.
And they would
so
hook him or whatever.
It's one of those things. We've all had these little discussions
nice
and debates.
Do.
What
nasty
in the law
there,
Moses, what was
happened.
The cause of divorce
right,
under
you
the
understand
law
that.
Moses.
I mean, it's different. It's different
no,
than what we understand about prisons, okay?
And it wasn't just an Israel. The reason why they were allowed to divorce
history.
Is because of the hardness of their heart. But what did Jesus say about that? In the beginning, it was not so.
Okay,
man. You know, there was a time in human life that divorce wasn't even in their vocabulary? All right, so... It's because of fornication.
You don't
know so obviously God
are,
doesn't
tell
like
you
that
they are,
very
but I'm sure
it's
you
a,
can
it's
figure
a problem.
Them out.
Deuteronomy 24.
With Sean for the mic,
there's some uncleanness. Yeah, listen, I don't know what they came out of Egypt with, but there's a lot of stuff that wasn't good. There's a lot of things written to the children of Israel that they're not supposed to do, so
that.
I don't know what they've seen. I kind of have an idea of some of the things they've seen.
It's not what I really wanted. Anyway.
God will pour out his wrath.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Well, that was good.
Let's
we'll
see
go
verses
that.
1
so
through 4. Sister Tessa,
what, they're in prison.
Down.
What were they thinking about?
Yes, please.
Just chew on that for a second.
Wife,
I don't know this answer, but you're in prison. You've been arrested. What are you thinking about?
Then let him write a court enforcement and give
well,
it
you're
her
thinking
hands
something, I know that, right?
In which
really
he's
know.
Departed out of his
I think
house,
about our,
go and be another
our forefathers,
man's
these are our forefathers, I think about, you know, we talk about Baptist history, this is Baptist history. You know, I don't know, we're going back to some scripture, we're rejoicing to some of the scriptures, being able to suffer for their Lord. I don't know, were they thinking about some Old Testament scriptures, some other brethren that had been left in prison, Joseph, maybe Jeremiah, I think I mentioned that, right? Daniel, three of these,
talking
their
head, so what did Jesus say?
I don't know.
What was the purpose for the writing
but
of
I would
divorce?
Hope that I would be thinking about some of those in relation to God
that
took care
this?
Of them. Maybe having a little bit of prayer about that, right?
Okay, so it's uncleanness.
Right.
So what's the
bottom line
fornication?
Is, it was a time for them to get serious. It was a time to deceive where they were
at. What does God think about uncleanness?
They made a thing about them Lord, them,
the
Lord themselves.
Bears, right? Should we be unclean? Can we think of 100 verses in the New
earlier.
Testament about being
maybe
clean?
Maybe in the same prison. I don't really know.
Be holy, sanctified, set apart.
And what he went
come out
through.
From among them. There's a lot of things.
This is the least they could do.
With the
stand
world.
Up for him, and right. That's exactly what they were doing.
So we got it's okay, parents, to tell your children these are
Acts,
dangerous.
They were
don't
just,
do
all
it.
All they were doing was just preaching
and
the
show
word
them in the scripture
like they had been
why? Because
asked
God
to do or commanded to do
that. That's not
by
the
their Savior,
order.
And they were doing
there's
it. And yes,
and
they got arrested.
There's rewards and
but they
there's
didn't
goodness
have
that comes out
they
of doing things the right way.
A couple months earlier, but they didn't have it.
And that you convinced them
because they were prepared and ready and strengthened to do the work that God. I don't know how many people could have done the work this at this day, but these
and
two
that's
were
a
able
real
to do
deal.
It. Okay?
And we know there's some vegetation
and,
out in bamboo. Sometimes it takes 4 or 5 years for a bamboo to sprout. You plant a seed, it's not going to show up right away.
So,
but you'll
comparing
pay for
this
it.
Message
all right, you'll pay for it.
That Peter
what's that?
Preached here.
Once
I'm looking at verse 4 is what I'm looking
once
at.
Once you have it, you can't get rid
I'm
of it.
I'm mainly looking at verse 4.
How, Ezekiel 16.
This message here in Acts chapter 3, the results.
Any comments or questions?
Verse 4. We talked about it being the same message. I'll do it
without blurry.
And pretty much the same results, right?
When I do this, it's clear.
I realize in Acts chapter 2, we had the Holy Spirit as comfort come down, right?
Ezekiel 16.
I hit that again, but no, we're not going to. Anyway, the point of it is, it's a great message.
Would you like to read?
In Acts chapter 2, and they talk about in verses 37 to 41. Could you read
verses 20, verse 26?
They heard, they asked the question, what do we do? And of course, repent comes up, right? And then the words, be saved, and then be baptized, right? And it talks about how they were baptized, and it says there that there was about 3,000 added. Agreed?
Verse 26.
All right, and we go read this. And then if you keep reading there, boy, there's some continuing in the apostles' doctrine.
All kinds
of things. It's well mentioned there. I do this often. All right, but then when we get down here to the second message, all right, the second message, and we get to verse number 4 mainly is what I'm looking at, chapter 4, howbeit many of them which heard
committing
the word,
fornication believed. Does what to God?
All right, so we have some here, they heard, right, they heard, and it says that
should
they,
we be afraid
they,
of
they
God?
Believed, back
should
in
we
chapter
be scared of God?
3, they were told should in verse number 19, there was a need to repent.
All right, so
right? That's
not
good.
Necessarily a good thing. So that,
and
that
of course
primitive
it says
root,
that the number of men was 5,000. I'm trying to get to my point.
Moved away,
is there something,
this,
is there
moved away from morality?
About baptism here in this message?
Moved away from morality.
In message in chapter 3, was there mention about
sensuality
baptism?
Sensuality without restraint.
Is there anything about the Holy
Figuratively,
Ghost?
Figuratively, to commit idolatry.
Comforter coming on them, being added.
Slay the whore.
About 5,000.
So this is where we transition into Matthew chapter 5, verse 32.
Here's what
transition
I will encourage
into,
you to think about. As you study the book of Acts. By the way, who is the book of Acts written to? New Testament church is a good answer. Who is the guy that?
Theophilus.
Thank you. Thank you. I want you to understand this. When did Theophilus receive this? I don't mean a year, but think about it.
After.
Oh, someone said it.
After the fact.
After. Let me give you a little hint. How many chapters in the book of Acts? 28. He received it after the 28 chapters were written. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, it sounds a little silly here, but that's when he did. And if anybody knows what happens in chapter 28, Paul lands in Rome. Rome. He didn't receive this until after Paul was in Rome. Is everybody understanding that? As a matter of fact, there's about, Brother Doug, 30, 35 years of church action taking place here in these, that's a lot of years. There's a lot of stuff. Here's my point. As you continue to go through the book of Acts, you will find that there sometimes is less information given. There's less information given. You're not always going to have, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and they broke bread, and they were, you're going to say, well, this seems like, this is a church. This is a church. And you said, they're referring to the disciples. That's a whole other thing. And you're seeing what they're doing. Less is sometimes written as you get farther along in the book of Acts. All right. And so don't get caught up in it. Well, it didn't say anything about these folks got baptized. It says they believed. No, it said the number of them was about 5,000. I can tell you the church in Jerusalem grew this day. All right. It grew. There's no question on that. All right. Let's look at verses 5 through 7. Yes. Yes, Brother Hager.
Chapter 2, verse 47.
Go ahead.
Praising God, having favor with all the people in the Lord at the church daily, such as she saved. You got a record of people getting saved. You know, 41 and 42 tell us what happens. That's no reason to not think you continue doing that.
Exactly. Matter of fact, you know, we talk about the apostles' doctrine. Is whose doctrine?
Yeah.
It's the Lord's doctrine, agreed? Where'd they get it from, right? The Lord? First one. What about the Jerusalem's church, Jerusalem church's doctrine here? They got it from the Lord. They got it from the Scripture. They got it from Him. Hopefully our doctrine is the same, right? Because we're getting it from the Lord. It should be, right? If it's not, we're in trouble. Okay? Yes. Don't just start changing the rules just because you're thinking you're important. That's for sure. Let's go 5-7 here. Really like, can you read that for us? 5-7.
And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?
All right, thank you. So this is the next day. Peter and John, they're brought before the Sanhedrin here. This is the court, the high court of the Jewish people, okay? And we had elders and scribes and the public, you know, the Pharisees and Caiaphas, and this is a big old group, and they're all sitting there. I want you to imagine their prestige and who they were and their who they thought they were. Let me rephrase that. Their education. I don't know if they were in a semicircle, but just imagine them all saying they're these muckety mucks with their nylons on, their fancy coffees with straws, and they're sitting there, and they're ready to go. And here comes this Peter and John, bunch of fishermen, Galileans, right? And they get down here, and they ask, oh, they made a mistake here. Boy, they made a mistake. Boy, they did. This is the group of people that were going to try to keep things under control so the Roman government don't have to step in, right? And they get down here to verse number 7. And they ask, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Okay. By what power, by what name, by whose authority have ye done this? Okay. And of course, Peter has an option here to keep his mouth shut or just start talking again. And we say that, and we know what he does, right? But I want you to catch this. He had a choice here. He could have been intimidated. He could have said, he could have backed off, right? But he did. But he didn't. Go ahead.
Well, and it's important to really kind of think, why was it? What motivated him not?
Go ahead.
The only way is you got to realize God is greater. The one that is in greater see than in you than he is in the world. You got to understand that. And it can't just be, oh, yeah, I see you. It's like, oh, yeah. When I get to this point, that's how I'm. No, it's got to be real in the time.
Well, actually, he had thought that earlier, hadn't he?
He did.
He actually had thought that. Oh, no, not me. I'm going to take, I'll die. Boom. And then we know how it goes, right?
Yeah.
Caught crew three times, right? Then he realized it wasn't. Now, it wasn't Peter. It was God's fault. It wasn't his fault. He was just as strong and powerful as he was this day. Is everybody hearing that? But, hey, we can pick. But Peter had done some growing. It was great. It was great. He was the man for the job here this day. All right? He was the man for the job here. And Bible says here in verse number 8, you know, he's sitting there and he had a choice to make. And it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, a child of God who's in a covenant relationship with his Lord still has to make the choices, rely on God and here we go, or not. And this time, he was in the Spirit, and he was ready not to be, he wouldn't be tooting his own horn. He said God through him of 100%, but he was ready to be used this very day with this intimidating group that was staring him down, all right? And he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's given completely over, and he says, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, okay, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Here it goes. that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, even whom or whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you full. So again, they asked the question and they got the answer. Think about it for a second. I don't have this answer here, but just think about it and chew on it. Since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it's been a couple of days, right? It's been over 50. Everybody understand that? It's been a couple of days. What has life been like for Caiaphas, these elders and scribes? And has there been, have they thought about it? Has there been some conviction? Possibly and probably. But how much arguing have they done in temple? How much, how many times were they put in their place and embarrassed because the master had the perfect thing to say to them? Are you with me? Oh, Brother Hawker?
Yeah, and this is stuff that always comes on a statement. The Sadducees had a problem, and they grabbed a hold of these men because they were preaching about the resurrection.
Yeah.
Didn't Paul use that as a strategy to get the Sadducees and the Pharisees to argue with one another?
Sure did.
And yet here they are together again. When you think about Caiaphas, the high priest, what's going on in his world? 5,000 people who have their life changed. That's a big number.
Yep.
That's not done in court, scripture says.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff going on right here. There's a lot of politics. A
lot of stuff going on here. And I tell you, they're sitting there, these people, they hear this answer, which is, by the way, the most perfect answer to say, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, there it goes, even by him, that this man, the man that was healed, the miracle that took place, right, by him, does this man stand here before you whole? There had to be more than one of them going, oh no, here we go again.
I'm trying to sweep this under the rug.
Been trying to thought we were sort of past this, and we're not past it. We just got hit right between the eyes with it again, the truth, by the way, but right between the eyes, and here we go. This was not a good time for the 70 or the Sanhedrin that was here. All right. It was not like, oh, this is supposed to be easy, flex our muscle, threat, do whatever, and to be gone, you little nobodies. And the nobodies were sitting there staring down at the somebodies with Christ, and they didn't know what to do. All right, let's just do it. Anybody on that? I thought I had a hand right there. Nope. Ready? Keep going here. First number, we'll hit this fast and we'll close with this here tonight. Let's go 11 and 12. Brother Jerry, like 11 and 12. Would you read that, Brother Jerry, please?
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
All right, so he's sitting there with this group and he goes and he starts talking about a stone which was set at naught of your builders. And I'm going to try to make this point. I hope I explained it. If I see some heads going like this, I'll say, well, at least I tried. All right, here we go. And the first 12 is pretty cool, right? All right. Yeah, there's no other way, folks. This is it. The one you crucified. No other way. Here we go. Make a point here, maybe. So anybody know what this is right here? I think it's blurry. I can't even hear it. It is the Wailing Wall. We've seen pictures of this. Some of you have been there. It's there, right? I want to think about this. In 2000, we had the opportunity to go down the Rabbi Tunnel. It's pretty amazing. And we got to walk along, Brother Sean, the Wailing Wall, headed north, okay, in a tunnel. We got to walk, and we got to walk along right here. Remember I told you guys about the two ladies sitting in the chair? It was as close to the Holy Holy. We got to see, they make appointments. They never miss those appointments, by the way. All right, that's another thing.
And they were mad we were there.
Yeah, but yes, okay. So here's my point. There it is, right? No.
Yeah, go back. Second. picture of it. Judge Heckler. You need to fire your IT guy.
Oh, there.
All right, ready? Let's crystal clear. This is not the cornerstone. Cordell said it was a cornerstone. Rondo said it's not. If you wanted to find a cornerstone worth, you would probably go to the corner. This is a sharp group here. We're not in the corner. We're walking in this tunnel, and we start looking at this massive stone. Massive. A tape measure. 43 feet long. They don't know how thick it is. I'm going to get to my point here. Ready? 43 feet long. They estimate if this one stone probably weighs 400 tons. With all their hydraulics and everything that they had. That was sarcasm. All right. If you're not aware, no hammer and no chisel was allowed when the building of the temple and the Temple Mount, at least with Solomon's time. Not sure what Herod did, I'll be honest with you. Everybody hearing this? 43 feet long. Anybody ever quarried stone before? Didn't think I was going to see any hands. All right. This must be a job. It must be a job. And they... Now, we see the wailing wall. We think, well, those are little ones. This is big. Did I say how much it weighed, probably? Yeah, I thought I did. 400 tons. That's in my notes. Now, we read some scriptures about how there was a cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Everybody know that, right? And I'm already past time. I got to go faster. And they talk about and how this cornerstone was rejected. I want you to think about it. If you guys, if you had spent time on this 43-foot stone and you had worked, shaped it, got it all ready to go, had it, and imagine it being moved into place and get it in there, and the builders say, nope, take it back. It's not good enough. And we want a different one. Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll start on it next week. How would you feel if you'd spent all that time? Right? Probably, yeah. Think about it for a second, though. Jesus Christ did all the work. Did all the work. There he is. He's the stone. He's the rock. And as a people, they rejected him. You think he has feelings? Jesus?
Yeah.
Guarantee he does. That hurt. It hurt when his own people rejected him. I hope that sort of made sense. It did to me. But, and again, other things make sense as well. Anyway, let's stand. We're going to probably be told to stretch. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, at least stand and Brother Cooper, come on up.